This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Switching gears completely now and going overseas, the situation in the Middle East has really exploded yet again. The fighting has resumed over the weekend. It has people outraged all around the world, in fact, and it should. It really, really should. A brutal terrorist attack that left hundreds of people dead, hundreds more kidnapped, men, women, children, and in many cases we saw examples of awful brutality, the worst of the worst. And then in the weeks that followed, thousands more have died. Again, men, women, children. Tens of thousands more driven from their homes, left to a very uncertain and terrifying future. And video of little kids orphaned, injured, or killed by anyone for any reason should most definitely be the kind of thing that sends people into the streets protesting a situation that is abhorrent by any measure. I get it. It's done that all around the world. And that has in turn led to more unrest, conflict, even violence as we take up sides thousands and thousands of miles away. A lot of that debate and a lot of the conflict too, to be honest, has happened on university campuses, and institutions have been scrambling to try and deal with it, find a way to handle it, often missing the mark. So it really begs a bunch of fundamental questions about freedom of expression, freedom of academia, and what happens on university campuses, and how you do handle a very controversial, divisive, and extremely emotional topic. To help us with that, we're going to speak with Camden Hutchison, who is an associate professor at the University of BC's Peter A. Allard School of Law. His research includes corporate law, legal history, and the freedom of expression. Camden, thank you so much for being here today. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, this whole situation has tested, I think, in a lot of ways, freedom of, you know, ideas, freedom of expression, you know, not just on university campuses, but a lot there as well. And it has people questioning, you know, should there be a line? Should there be a limit to that? So, and if so, where should it be drawn? And that's sort of the fundamental issue that we're all struggling with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think at this point, there has to be. At some point, don't we need to draw a line? Don't we have to say there has to be a limit?
I think that there are, you know, there's certainly limits on freedom of expression under Canadian law. And I think that there's, you know, limits to responsible expression in an academic context. Where you draw the line, that's a difficult exercise to engage in. I mean, you know, and different people are going to have different perspectives on where you draw the line. That's understandable. I mean, speaking for myself, I would say that you draw the line in a manner that is sort of maximally conducive to freedom of expression. So I think in the university context in particular, you want to be especially careful that you're allowing maximum liberty of expression. And that includes expression that may be highly offensive or shocking or outrageous to lots of different people, to lots of different members of the university community. But sort of the history and the purpose of universities, you know, in the Western world is to serve as incubators for really unconventional and arguably even dangerous ideas, right? And those ideas might, you know, they could be wrong. They could be, you know, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily correct, you know, when somebody says something outrageous. But the idea is that we sort of allow people to kind of test the limits of responsible expression. And that's, you know, that's kind of how society moves forward is by, you know, by engaging in these types of debates.
Yeah. And the principle, and like you say, debate, I think for a long time, it's always been, you know, especially on campuses. And that's what we're talking about here is, you know, you can have ideas that are really awful. They're really bad ideas. And in some cases, they're scary and dangerous, but they're ideas, and you handle them by debating and arguing and handling it that way, not by shutting it down. But that's not what we're seeing necessarily, right? We are seeing it shut down, I guess, outright censorship in some cases.
Yeah. So you sort of asked the question of where to draw the line. And in Canada, I mean, a few universities actually have drawn the line. So there's been examples over the last month or so, you know, in the wake of the terrorist attacks of October 7th, there's been examples of, you know, faculty and particularly students engaging in, you know, pro-Palestine or anti-Israel expression that has, you know, really kind of pushed the envelope. It's been, you know, offensive. It's arguably condoned violence. It's arguably had anti-Semitic overtones. And universities have drawn the line in sort of, you know, publicly denouncing expression by students, political expression by students, and in some cases threatening to discipline them. So they have drawn the line. In my personal opinion, I think that they drew the line the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I think that that expression should be allowed. I think just because expression in support of Palestinian nationalism or any other cause is shocking or offensive, I don't think that that means it should be censored. I think that expression should be allowed. And as you said, I completely agree with you. I think that the correct response to expression that we find disagreeable or offensive or shocking is to confront it and to challenge it and to explain, you know, why it's misguided or why it's wrongheaded or why it's based on incorrect facts or what have you. But it's not to punish the people who are saying it. I think that's the wrong approach.
I agree with you completely. And what's the natural consequences to that, Camden? If you start censoring people or censuring people, as we've seen on some campuses, naturally the debate stops, right? Which is not what we want.
Yeah. I mean, debate is stifled. I mean, there's, you know, obviously people are going to, you know, there's some people are going to continue to engage in debate, but at least some people on the margin are just going to, you know, play it safe and not express themselves. And I will say, you know, on the Israel-Palestine issue in particular, you know, it's obviously a very, very sensitive issue. It's obviously in the news right now. But I can tell you for a fact that there's, you know, lots of faculty in Canada who have, you know, views on the Israel-Palestine debate who are, you know, not expressing themselves.
Definitely.
Because it's just too dangerous, right? I mean, there's kind of an organized campaign to identify, you know, people who are making, you know, I don't arguably offensive or politically incorrect statements about Israel-Palestine and, you know, publicly stigmatizing them, calling for them to be fired, calling for them to be punished. And, you know, that's a scary environment. So I understand why people don't want to express themselves.
I agree completely. Yeah, we've seen it. And you, if you spend any time on social media, there are people that it seems to be all they've been doing for the past month or so is sort of seeking out people who haven't said the right thing, haven't said anything, have said the wrong thing, and really made it a campaign against them. So, yeah, you're right. When you get into a situation like that, I think most people just sort of, I'm just not even going to get involved. It's too risky. As you said, it's too dangerous.
Right. And so like the label of, you know, like cancel culture, it's a bit of a cliche, it's a bit corny, but you know, with and you know, I just want to be very clear. Like I understand why, you know, people on all sides of the issue are really animated by this. Yeah. Like I understand why people have strong feelings. I understand why people are upset. But you have like very organized effort to cancel people for saying the wrong things.
Totally.
And I personally, speaking for myself, I just believe that people should not be punished for their opinions, right? Like I think, you know, we should talk about these things, right? If somebody says something you don't like, you can confront them about it, you can explain to them why you think they're wrong, you know, or you can just ignore it and live your life. But I don't like this idea of institutionally punishing people for having the wrong ideas.
Couldn't agree more, Camden. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you being here.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.